Welcome back to the Effin Football Podcast. You're listening to me, Emmy.
Amelia
And
Divya.
yep, we're back for another episode. Really hope you listened to our first one of season three recently. I hope you enjoyed it because we've got a lot more to talk about this time. So we're going to be covering Jill Scott, Queen of the Jungle.
Whoop, whoop. Woo.
Yeah, I've got my votes in for Jill. We're also going to be talking about the WSL, looking at the table, talking a bit about that Arsenal Man United game, and leading on to a bit of about injuries. And Amelia, I think you're going to talk to us a bit about period and
Yeah.
pants. Okay, so let's crack on. Yeah, so I'm so excited that Jill Scott is the Queen of the Jungle.
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't actually watched any of it, but I did see it all on the news and I saw her like wooden trophy thing and her fiance.
I was so happy because I've never watched it. Div, have you watched it before?
No, I haven't watched it. And I didn't watch this one either, but I still put my votes in.
No one's watched it,
But you put your votes in.
Of course.
Yeah, do you download the app, Divya? Or phone
Yeah, we
app or
could,
something.
no, I downloaded the app because I just didn't have a huge faith that Matt Hancock wouldn't win.
I was so worried that he was gonna, I just couldn't stomach that. So I also downloaded the app, did a little bit of a social media campaign. If you follow us, you've probably seen my post. I was like, please vote for Jill, because Jill is like, she's such a nice person. She's like so funny. She seems like really down to earth. But also I think she deserves it. Like, she's represented her country so many times at football. Obviously a lot of her career very under the radar, unrecognized, just obviously of the momentum of the England winning the Euros over the summer. I just think it's such a great time that she gets this recognition that she deserves.
And she's a celebrity, unlike the other one.
I'm like the politician who should be working.
And it's just so I saw like loads of tweets, and it was just super nice to kind of see such like huge public admiration for someone who is a footballer and like who is a woman. It's just to me that's still amazing. Like it, I don't know about you guys, but I still feel like I'm soaking it all in. Like the increased popularity of football in this country played by women. So it's like, oh, I just love it.
It's really funny because I've never really watched it. I've seen bits and pieces, but my mum is probably like the target demographic for this show. Has watched it like every year, and when the first episode she came out, she WhatsApped me and was like, "Oh my God, Jill Scott is in the jungle!" And I was like, "Oh, that's really cool. My mum knows who she is," and she was also really excited. And so yeah, I did watch a bit of it for the first time because I wanted to see Jill Scott. And yeah, I thought she did really well. I was terrified that Matt Hancock was going to win, but yeah, I'm so happy for Jill. And I think you're right. It's this obviously they're still riding this wave from the summer, from winning the Euros. And my mum was like, "Oh, do you know she owns a coffee shop?" I was like, yeah, I know she owns a coffee shop. I follow the coffee shop on Instagram." And it's just like, oh, I'm so happy for her. Like, she's retiring. She's retired. And obviously, there's so little jobs for like professional athletes or footballers who retired. Obviously, a lot of them go into punditry and stuff like that. But I feel like there's so little jobs, especially for like a woman's footballer. It must be even harder because you haven't had that chance to earn as much money as a male footballer. So I'm just like, oh, like, I really hope she wins, gets the recognition, and then she has like loads of job opportunities afterwards.
Yeah, that's so true. I didn't think of the like the impact it would have on her own life afterwards. Like, yeah, job opportunities and but yeah, and same with Divya was saying, it really has given another bit of publicity to women's football.
I'm pleased I haven't lost faith in the British public. Gosh, nice to win an election. Win a vote. A vote to go my way. What a weird feeling.
That's true, actually.
Let's talk about the WSL table because this title race is heating up. Okay, so obviously the last sort of 3 seasons, I think, Chelsea have won the league. And the top three teams consistently for the last three or four seasons have been Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal. So this season, obviously, it's fantastic that United are also up there and also challenging, and it's looking quite tight there at the moment. Obviously, there's still a lot of games to play, but yeah, it looks very, very interesting indeed.
And Chelsea, they're like a game ahead as well, aren't they? So it can't really predict how it's going to go yet because there's so many games to go.
Exactly. If United and Arsenal, I think, win their games in hand, they'd be on level points with Chelsea, like with equal games played. So very, very exciting.
And, you know, guys, what was the game? Well, you guys went there. What was the game that changed it all? Like,
yeah, so Div and I went to the Emirates to see Arsenal v Man United. And yeah, a really big crowd. I was really pleased, actually. Over 40,000 people attended. And I got my ticket like the night before, so probably less than 24 hours, and they still had tickets. So I was like, oh, has it not sold out? Or is it not, you know, have people not been buying the tickets? But actually, when we got there, when we got closer to kickoff, yeah, definitely started filling out to a really nice atmosphere. Div and I actually sat in different parts of the stadium.
Yes, I was in the Man United end, which was interesting. but no, yeah. It was actually really good. The atmosphere was live. Like the Man United fans were singing. Just
yeah.
Singing the whole time. It was really, really fun.
That's really interesting because I think this, like, different between like the home and away stands is relatively like new for WSL games, because obviously previously it's been like mixed, and there's been a bit of a call for supporters to have these away stands at games, because yeah, like, it creates a better atmosphere. You've got everyone together, you can sing. So yeah, I didn't know that's where you sat. I'm really curious now. So was it, yeah, quite lively there, was it?
Yeah, it's because our good friend Polly bought the tickets. So of course she bought them in the United end. Yeah, I think that is really interesting, actually, about having the kind of separate home and away ends, because just being together with people that support the same team as you and like singing together, that kind of solidarity, it just feels a lot better when you're sort of together with those people. Not that I'm a Man United fan, but you can sort of sense that in that block. So I think it's a really good idea to keep them separate.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think it would create like an atmosphere. Amelia?
Is the away section, is it quite small? I don't know how it works. So the whole of like the Emirates, pretty much Arsenal, and then a tiny little patch for the away team. Is that how?
Yeah, pretty much like a little stand. Yeah.
Okay. It was a very small section, but very, very loud.
I think the Man U supporters, actually, I think they're quite known for like, they're quite loud and they're like really supportive, aren't they? Like, I think they've made the news and stuff like of women's football. So they're like loyal supporters for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And what was quite nice is, so obviously at the start of sort of going to women's games, like domestic games, you could tell that the fans were sort of recycling songs from the men's game that maybe didn't necessarily apply, or like just perhaps not of the right tone, let's say, for the women's game. And so what was really fun was at this game, they had like specific songs. So like Furuso and like Toon. So that was really cool. They had like individual songs and stuff, which they're now singing. Like it's so great.
Is it, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it. Oh, 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 oh.
Yes.
You know what? I've not heard that, and I was about to ask Divya to sing that. So thanks, Emmy.
I think I heard that over the, thank you very much. I heard that over the Euros. I think with the stadiums, like the home and away, I do get it. I think it'd be nice to have like the option for both. Like if I wanted to sit with my mate who was a different fan, I would quite like to sit with him in the stadium. But if I had the option, I wanted to go in the away stand or the home. Yeah, I think it'd be nice. Because what's one thing that's quite interesting about the men's game, obviously, it is a very segregated, like very strictly so. Whereas like rugby or like American sports, you won't get that. So yeah, I think I would like both.
Emmy, who were you supporting?
well, I was in the other part of the stadium. Do you know what? I think I was like supporting Arsenal because I feel like I know that team a bit better, and obviously being a London team, but I like Man United. I think they've got like a nice fire about them. So actually, I was quite nice actually. It was, and they're a bit of the underdogs. So I wanted them to do well. I always love an underdog. So yeah, I didn't have like strong affiliation to either team really. So I was quite happy with the result.
It's funny because technically I am an Arsenal supporter, but I was supporting Man U. I'm allowed to say that in women's. I'm allowed to say that in women's football, aren't I? Because I want it to be. I like
Why?
competitive football. I love competitive football,
Yeah.
and I want that kind of chase at the top. I want the title chase. I don't want it to be like always Chelsea or just Chelsea and Arsenal or whatever. So that's why I kind of
Yeah.
like that Man U is, become one of the three. And I hope they are the top in the top three this year. It's quite nice to kind of kicked Man City out of the way.
United have finished just outside the top three, I think the last like three seasons. So yeah, I was just agreeing with you. It would be really nice if they break into the top three. I feel like they would deserve it, and they'd get some Champions League football as well, which would be really good.
And also Aston Villa, they're doing really well. They're fifth of the table. Like, so right up to, Rachel Daly, that probably was a fantastic signing. She scored like a hat trick in the last game.
Yeah, I think she's sitting at the top goal scorer of the WSL at the moment.
She's pretty high up there.
Wow.
So actually, just going back though, we were talking about this game, Man United versus Arsenal, for a specific reason, and we did just talk about the stadiums, but it's because Man United bloody won 3-2. Like, tell me about it. They won it in the like the last like few minutes, wasn't it? Were you expecting it?
Do you know what? Like, because obviously the game was a couple of weeks ago now, so I was trying to remember. And when I was looking it up, I was like, oh yeah, they scored in injury time. But in my head, like, they were like the winners, like the whole match, really. Like, I just thought, yeah, like, I don't know about you, Div, but like watching the game, I just thought they had a bit more fire in them than Arsenal. I think the Arsenal had like that bit when they did bring it back and score a goal. They had like about 10, 15 minutes, but they just, when they were like really started to knock it up a gear. But I just thought for the rest of the game, like Man United just had a bit more fire to them. And like Arsenal was quite frustrating to watch, but how like slow they were to get to the ball and things like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So the first half, I remember Arsenal just being very disappointing, very poor, like loads of loose passes. It just was not happening. So I think Man United had the best first half. And then second half, Arsenal came out the blocks firing. They scored a goal like super quick in the second half. Yeah, and it just teed it up for a great second half. Really fun. And yeah, I think Man United deserved to win overall. So it's probably the right result. I feel like if Arsenal won, that would have been it felt like a bit of an injustice. But yeah, it was just such an exciting way to do it. Like Russo as well, obviously being the super sub of the Euros, for her to get that injury time winner as well, it's just, I love it. I love football for moments like this.
and we saw Toon get a goal too. I thought it was really interesting that two of the goals conceded by Arsenal came from set pieces. So the corner from Katie Sellum, sorry, the free kick from Katie Sellum. I just think she had like a really good game. I think, yeah, I was that we didn't see any of her in the Euros, but I think we'll see a lot of her next year at the World Cup.
Speaking of the World Cup, obviously at the end of that game, Beth Mead picks up an injury. I'm not sure about you, but I mean, at the time, it didn't look. I don't think I even saw it properly, but I didn't think it was that serious. But obviously, it came out afterwards that she has done her ACL, which
Oh,
has now
gutting.
become a common theme in the women's game. And maybe she might be out for the World Cup now. Let's see, but it's. Seems a bit unlikely that she'll be in contention or at least match ready by then.
Because I think it's like 9 months, isn't it, to heal from an ACL, and that doesn't line up with the World Cup or like time enough for her to get ready before the World Cup. It makes me feel like sick to my stomach that she won't be there if she's not there. That just
And you feel for her because, like, she's at her peak. She's doing so amazing. She's like won so many of these awards. She's like representing women's football. She's on the news. She's on an advert. She's on radio, and then she gets an ACL injury, and it's like that's the thing that every woman player doesn't want to get, but they kind of know maybe it's going to happen, and then she goes and gets it. And the only positive side for some other players is now there's an opening potentially. So maybe like Rachel Daly might be getting an opportunity, maybe up front. Who knows?
I'm just, yeah, it's so gutting. Because yeah, she just had such a good, she had such a good Euros, didn't she? Like Golden Boot. Oh yeah.
When did she go off? When did she go off on that game? Do you remember? Is that the reason why the Arsenal didn't win?
It was near the end, wasn't it? I think it was near the end of the game that it happened.
Do you know what? Okay, I was thinking about this. Okay, so you know, like Beth Mead and Mead and Mara together.
Yeah.
Yeah, if like I also wonder if that like affected like if I saw like my partner like go off with an injury and like was crying, you know, I think that would really affect me. I'd just be like, oh, like just get this game over with so I can go and see them. Do you know what I mean?
And
So
this is
silly.
why you shouldn't have relationships in football. Just like the
Yeah.
army,
No work relationships.
yeah,
Yeah,
but no.
she went off in the nine the 100th minute, according to BBC Sport. It was 90 plus the 10th minute of injury time. So it was literally right at the end of the game.
Oh.
Actually, I think Miedema's come out with things saying that there's too much pressure, not pressure, but there's too many games back to back. There's too much pressure on them. I think from women and men, so maybe that's why more injuries are happening.
It's really interesting about ACLs. Did you do some research on this?
Okay, so as we've discussed, ACLs, recurring issue across the women's game. And obviously it started with Alexia Putellas, who missed the Euros. She was obviously top scorer for Barcelona, and oh my God, she had such a prolific season. And she tore her ACL just before the Euros, so was obviously out of the Euros because of it, after having an incredible season. And I think that initially put the spotlight on these injuries. And since then, we've just sort of seen a wave of them, particularly in the top flight of the women's game. So I was looking at some articles, and so the Tottenham club doctor said that they're twice as common in women footballers as they are men, which I thought was quite interesting. And then in another article, which I saw on Sky Sports, a female health specialist said that female athletes generally are up to six times more likely to have non-contact ACL injuries than their male counterparts. And I just thought these stats were really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's the one that I heard actually, that women are six times more likely to tear their ACL compared to men. Div, in your research, did you come to any reasons why that might be the case?
I mean, that they're kind of researching at the moment, and it's really great that this is now being pulled to the forefront. Because I do remember when the Women's World Cup was in Canada, there was a lot of talk about the use of artificial turf and how that's dangerous for them, for the women to play on, because it causes them to injure their ACLs, or like just their sort of general muscles, a lot more than kind of grass, essentially. So that was a big, big argument going into that World Cup. So I do remember that. But yeah, it's good that the spotlight is now back on this. So, I mean, there have been suggestions that it's linked to the menstrual cycle. And I don't want to give that argument too much credit until there's proper evidence to back it up, because it just feels a bit.
Actually, Diva, what you were just saying about the menstrual cycle potentially having some connection with the ACL injury, I think there's been doing some research actually about menstrual cycle and sporting activities, and how at some type parts of your cycle, you're probably more like injury prone.
Yeah, on that. So what they've sort of said, well, at least in the article that I've read, they said that, so your estrogen levels, which is obviously elevated during your menstrual cycle, can essentially affect the stability of joints. So that's quite interesting. But obviously there's just not enough, there's not enough evidence to back this up properly yet. So, because there are sort of other theories as well that they've thrown out there.
But it's good though that, the research is being talked about, it is being investigated.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, yeah, six times more likely, that's such a huge number. So it is something that's really serious. In fact, we're seeing so many of these players in the top flight of women's football coming down with the injury. I listened to a really good podcast, the Upfront podcast, with Chloe Morgan, ex-Tottenham and Crystal Palace player, and her co-host Rachel, where they basically just spoke about ACL injuries for the majority of the episode, and they had a doctor come on. And it's just really interesting just to hear about some of the reasons why. Is it, yeah, again, that to do the menstrual cycle and your hormones being a bit different at the time? Is it because like women's hips are a bit wider, and so that distance between, like, compared to like men's hips and women's hips, is it to do with like football boots and football boots not, you know, being made for men, not really being made for women? There's quite a lot of things at play, and I think you're right, Amelia, and there's just not enough, they're doing research now, but there hasn't been enough research on it, and that's why we don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of years when they do this research. But yeah, just on, and just on the football front boots thing, and but the fact that we don't know, it's just kind of, it's just another thing that kind of displays like how the world is built for men. And there's this audiobook that I've got on my Audible account called Invisible Woman, or Invisible Women, and I haven't listened to it yet because I know it's just going to make me angry, but it's just talking about all those things, how we just make things for like you know, crash car dummies, like cars are safe for the average man, like size and build, they don't test like the average women, so that's why women have so many more like fatalities compared to men in car accidents, and all these like things, like, you know, how they, you make the size of a phone is like size for men's hands, and like football boots is just another one of those things.
Yeah, it's completely bonkers, and that was actually one thing that I read in the BBC Sport article, was that no large boot manufacturer has yet invested in a design of boots to suit women specifically. So the fact that women's feet, heels and arches are different, and then as you say, like the hips is obviously a major thing. So there are rumours that there might be specific boots made for women by the 2023 World Cup, which is obviously next July.
Oh, wow.
We'll see. But it's just completely mad to think that a lot of the football boots that women do use are literally men. They're just men's boots.
Yeah.
From pink and called women's boots. But yeah.
And also usually sometimes women go for the junior ones as well because smaller feet.
Is that you and me?
Yeah, and you get them for cheaper.
Yeah, like there's such a market, yeah, for it. I'm surprised they haven't done that already, but yeah, it'd be good to see that, and just would have a bit more awareness and a bit more research into it.
Didn't Chloe Kelly have an ACL injury? I'm sure before the Euros.
Yeah, I think she did. I think she had a bad one.
Yeah. Because that was quite a big, like, pivotal moment, her scoring that goal in the final, like after coming through an ACL injury and getting to that stage.
And Danielle Carter, she did it twice. Do you remember? I think I read this, and I think Emmy, we might have spoke about it once. She did it. She tore it once, and then she like rehabilitated, physio and everything. And then she went first game back in. I think she tore it again.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
can you imagine, a double whammy?
Yeah.
So I think there's that other fear, isn't it? And I think, so I'm going to go a bit off topic, but I think your mind is so powerful that sometimes if you think it could happen, it potentially, you know, your body could make it happen. But that's just a completely different topic for another day. Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about ACL injuries at the moment? Or
yeah, just they're really bad. And
well, yeah,
we
very,
wish
very
you,
bad.
Yeah, we wish you a speedy recovery, Beth Mead. Do you remember, like, in that World Cup where I can't remember which World Cup it was, where like Beckham like broke one of his metatarsals, and they put that picture of his foot on the front page of the Sun, and they were like, "You got to kiss his foot to make sure he's better for the World Cup." We should need something like that with Beth Mead.
What, kiss her knee?
Kiss her knee.
Another thing we want to talk about, which links quite nicely to what we just previously talked about, menstrual cycles, is white shorts and periods. Now, this has been a bit of a hot topic in the news recently, since like the summer, since the Euros, when Nike came out with England's kit, which was completely white. And some of the team made some comments about this, how it kind of conflicts with, you know, periods. So, for example, Beth Mead is quoted to have said, It is very nice to have an all white kit, but sometimes it's not practical when it's the time of the month. Now, I thought this was really interesting because when I first saw this being talked about, I didn't really think about it at a professional level in football, like in sports. Like, we all go through it, right? I'm guessing you're the same. Like, when you're on your period, you probably wear, I don't know, I wear darker clothing. I won't wear my light clothing. But I didn't think about it for professional. Did you know what I mean? Does it ever occur to you, like when women are playing in white, that it, do you know what I mean? Anyone? Did it occur to you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there was this protest earlier this year at Wimbledon about this exact thing, because obviously Wimbledon are known for their sort of very traditional, like all white kits, is that the right term, that, you know, male and female players have to wear. And I think, is it recently, I think this month, earlier this month, they've finally agreed that women can now wear whatever color undershorts that they want to wear. So they've deviated from that, which is great. I do know what you mean. It's sort of hard to like comprehend that these are like professionals at the top of their game, playing at like elite level sports, like in any sport, not just football, and yeah, that they have to contend with that through no choice of their own.
I just think that we've been so told, in like, I just think generations after generations, you just don't talk about it, you just get on with it. So you don't really think about it when you see women playing, like, you know what I mean? Because everyone just gets on with it. We don't, like, I've never spoken to you guys about it. Like, oh, guys, I'm wearing my black shorts this summer. Do you know what I mean? Or do you know what I mean? You just get on with it. You just told, you know?
I
read articles and they were saying, like, it causes a lot of anxiety. And I, you know, and I get that. I completely, everyone, you know, if you have a period, you get it.
I'd hate to wear white shorts in general, to be honest, but especially I would hate to wear white shorts if I was on my period. Like, yeah, that must be, make you so
in the
anxious.
Final, can you imagine being in the final? Oh. Like, you got that to contend with.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like another thing to think about, because I'm the same as you, Amelia. Like, at my time of the month, if when I'm going to work and stuff, I wear like all my dark coloured suits, because as you say, it's just the anxiety of thinking, oh my god.
Yeah,
I just can't believe that they have to do that.
So what was the outcome, Amelia? Like, so, is there any, what England doing? Nike, isn't it? The kit manufacturers.
Well, as you saw, they wore complete white on the final and they won. But I think it will be taken into consideration for potentially at the World Cup. So it'll be interesting if the short colours changes. But in the WSL, Man City are no longer going to have white shorts in the next season. So they've changed their kit.
Oh.
And another club, West Bromwich, they have also done the same thing. They've actually changed it now. They're now wearing navy blue shorts. But yeah, just talking about, ACL injuries, and they're talking about different boots. I think women and like what their needs is coming into it a bit more.
Yeah, that's obviously white kit, like that's not going to bother a man, like they're not going to think about that. But yeah, just how that wouldn't be very fair. So I'm rambling now.
No, I do just want to plug another podcast on this bit.
Oh, another podcast.
Yeah, just following on from Emmy talking about that podcast up called Upfront Podcast, I just want to give a shout out to another podcast, which I recommend you to listen to if you haven't already, and it's called 28-ish Days Later. Please write it down, guys. 28-ish Days Later. It taught me so much about our cycle that I never knew about before. It literally... And I tell everyone now, it's changed my life and it will change yours too. If you don't get taught anything, and knowledge is power. That's why they don't teach us about it, guys, because it gives us power. But
yeah, it'll keep us down.
Yeah, but it links, they do a whole episode about sports in it. But yeah, 28-day cycle, and they go for each day. And I recommend it to anyone out there. You know, everyone should listen to it. And it's not just for those who have periods. It honestly blew my mind. It's 15-minute episodes as well, so it's easy, nice and easy.
Nice. Okay, I'm definitely going to listen to that. I've written it down.
Same, got it down.
So, yeah, guys, the WSL table is exciting. There is one team, though, that hasn't done very well, and it's Brighton. They're like they're the end middle of the table. But they've also got some other sad news. Emmy, what's happened?
Yeah, so... Head coach Hope Powell, former England head coach, has left.
That week, I actually said to my partner, I think Hope Powell is going to have to go, because she was losing every game. And then it came out and I was like, I kind of understand why she made that decision. Like, she lost 8-0 against Tottenham. Good for Emmy, but not good for Powell, you know?
That's,
Bitter
Yeah, that's not good. And her sort of general win percentage wasn't looking great. I think it was, I read it was around 40% in her time at Brighton, so across the 5 years.
Wow.
So it's not great. But what sort of irks me is that we've lost another female coach, and obviously we don't have too many to begin with. So it's obviously Emma Hayes is there leading the pack, but Stoney left. Obviously, it was end of last season she left, or season before.
Yeah.
And we do have a few in there, but it just would be nice to see some more.
No, I understand. It's like good representation, and yeah, it just gives people hope and dreams.
Give them hope, literally.
Yeah, I wonder what she's going to do next. Do you think she's going to maybe go to another team? Do you think maybe she's going to go behind the scenes, or do you think she's just going to take early retirement?
I think she'll still be involved in football.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we spoke to her, Amelia? We did the interview with her.
What's she say?
She said lots of really wise things, and everyone should go back and listen to that episode to remember all those
That
wise things. But I think
was a
she's
brilliant episode.
Thank you,
yeah.
Debbie.
No, thanks, Liv. Yeah, I think she'll do something with football. She's got all that experience. It's still, yeah, she's got, I think she's still got a lot of like useful stuff to contribute to the women's game. But we'll see, I guess.
Exciting to see what she does next then. But yeah, so
For sure.
WSL, looking exciting. Hopefully Leicester will get a point soon. They've not won a single game.
Did any of you watch the Women's FA Cup?
No.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention though that Newcastle United set a new Women's FA Cup attendance record.
What was
And
it?
they, yeah, so it's Women's FA Cup, a crowd of 28,565 at Newcastle's United's ground, which is St James's Park. And yeah, they beat Barnsley. And I thought that was really cool because, yes, yeah, the FA Cup, obviously, those teams aren't in the WSL, but they got to play at St James's Park. Don't really know much about Newcastle, but I thought that was
Well,
interesting.
the women's team's just become under Newcastle.
Say them, say what
They've
now?
just come under Newcastle, like the actual, like Newcastle United. You know, like Man U had the women's team. I think Newcastle is actually, it's all under that umbrella. So it's quite big
They
for them
fall
then.
under the remit of the main club now, which is always great.
Yep, another one. Woo woo.
Got another
But keep
one.
them going, keep them coming.
So that's it for this month's episode of the Effin Football Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any feedback or any thoughts about what we said, want to get a conversation going, you can reach us on our social media accounts. We have Twitter and Instagram. We are at F_in_football. Yeah, please get in touch. I'd like to have a chat. And also, you can also leave us a review on the Apple Podcast. 5 stars, please.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you next
Yeah, thanks.
time.
Next
Ciao.
time.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Love it. That lioness's win. Blah, 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 blah. It's coming home. It's coming home, it's coming home for Christmas.